The U.S. House and Senate are divided on whether the federal government should continue to provide direct aid for businesses. The first several rounds of funding for the Payroll Protection Program and other forms of aid have gone pretty fast, and most Michigan businesses remain stalled by the COVID-19 outbreak. Today, we're speaking with Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan's 8th House District about what might come next. She joins us today via Skype. Congresswoman Slotkin, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
How are you doing? Have you been making the drive back and forth from Washington when votes come up?
You know, I have made the decision to fly. And so I've had this interesting experience of sometimes being one of the very, very few passengers on the plane. Walking through Detroit Metro Airport where all the little stores and restaurants are closed. So it's kind of dark in the hallways. It's a little spooky. This last time around, I flew from Michigan, and it was basically the only people on the plane were members of the Michigan congressional delegation and the Utah congressional delegation, because they connected through Detroit. Their direct flight was sort of ended due to COVID. So it's been an interesting experience getting back and forth.
That sounds pretty surreal.
It is. It's a little surreal. And, you know, everyone knows the Detroit Metro Airport is just so huge, you know, these long, huge hallways, and to see nobody. I mean, I took some pictures just because it's one of these amazing things that we'll tell our grandkids about. Because I'm used to going through that airport every week when it's crowded and busy. And so it was quite a difference.
What do the House votes look like these days?
So we've done a couple of different things. This last vote on Thursday night or Thursday evening, they arranged us by alphabetical order, and you had your time slot that you were allowed to come to the floor. If you didn't have your own mask, you got a mask provided to you. You came in, you voted, and then you did something very uncharacteristic for Congress members. You left immediately from the floor. Usually the House floor in kind of a traditional way is a place a lot of business gets done. So you'll see people they've got their little notes of who they need to talk to on the floor, and they just zip around and it's crowded usually, and not anymore. You come in, you come out, and then you wait in your office till the next vote. So it was quite different.
My understanding is that Speaker Pelosi withdrew her plan for digital online votes after talking with Republicans who had concerns about this. Are you comfortable with still voting in person?
So what actually was pulled from the floor was proxy voting, so that you could give another member of Congress your proxy.
Right.
And you could stay at home and they could officially vote for you. And then some additional work on virtual hearings, which are, I think, really important. I think we got to be aware that there's people who may be, you know, compromised and can't make the long trip. But I was sad that proposal got pulled. And I think it's important that we demonstrate and carry out our oversight role in the U.S. Congress, so that we don't just come in once every couple of weeks and vote on $1 trillion, that we are continuing to have committee hearings and briefings, discussing new legislation, moving new legislation to the floor. And I just watched the businesses in my district have adapted as much as possible to do their work remotely. And I'm not sure Congress has found its footing yet on doing the same thing.
Right. I wanted to ask you about some of the economic stimulus efforts that might be on the drawing board right now. There are some business groups who are suggesting the latest round of payroll protection cash probably won't last very long, much like the first round. Do you think there's any what's the realistic amount of cash support, whether it's loans or grants, that might be realistic to get businesses through this?
Well, I mean, I think the truth is we could appropriate, hundreds of billions of dollars constantly and still not keep up with the need as long as our economy is largely shut down. We know that what we've been passing, these four major appropriations we've passed, are basically, I call them survival bills. They're just to get some, folks what they need to get through the situation, whether it's expanding unemployment or business loans. I think we'll probably do one major appropriation, another survival appropriation, one more. And to me, what's really important is, meanwhile, our cities and towns and our state has had so much lost revenue, that we're not sure that they're all going to be able to maintain their base operating budget. That means layoffs. That means basic services in doubt. We can't let that happen. And so the next bill, I know that on the House side, we're really focusing on how to help our states and our cities. And our mayors have been extremely vocal about this, at least certainly in my district. And then we really turn to stimulus. And stimulus is different than a survival bill. Stimulus is to get us going again. And what I've heard on the horizon, which I think is a potentially a very good thing for us, is a pretty major once-in-a-generation infrastructure bill. For shovel-ready projects, for things that I've already asked my mayors in my town, start putting together your list. You know, start listing in priority order what infrastructure projects you'd like to see and that are shovel-ready so that we can get people back to work and get that money coming into our state.
What kind of projects might be covered by something like that? Can you give us any examples?
Sure. Well, back in 2008, 2009, you know, you have your sort of traditional, you know, if you've got a bridge that's about, you know, ready to be redone or road work, of course, our roads are always a big focus here in Michigan. But I think one of the things that's going to be super interesting that COVID has really highlighted is we need to start treating broadband internet like a normal utility. It's like having access to water or electricity. We need everyone to have access to broadband internet. And there's chunks of my district, the 8th district, even near my house in Holly, where you have these dead zones. You know, Heartland Public Schools are just not doing, you know, distance learning because not enough kids had access to broadband. So I think there's a lot of interesting projects we can do on laying that broadband in a new infrastructure bill as part of stimulus.
We spoke with Representative Andy Levin last week, mm-hmm. and he said he thinks that most aid should be reserved for small businesses. Do you agree?
Well, we certainly changed the rules in this latest round of Small Business Administration funding, and we said, you know, we'll put $310 billion back into your coffers for small businesses. But let's be clear, $60 billion of it is going to be reserved for our smallest lenders, our smallest businesses. And that's because of the news we've all seen that some of the most established companies, you know, who have the best relationships with their banks were unsurprisingly the first ones to get in their applications, to get that attention. We got that feedback almost immediately that our small businesses like couldn't get the time of day from some of the lending agencies. And so we wanted to change that. And that's what we voted on in this last bill on Thursday night was making sure our smallest businesses get some of that cash. But listen, like I said, we can't just keep spending trillions and trillions of dollars. We have to be focused as well on transitioning back to work because no amount of aid is going to help get us through this more than restarting the economy. So testing. That's why we also put $25 billion in that last bill for testing, because we're not where we need to be. And if you want to open your business and you take someone's temperature and, you know, before they come into the plant in the morning and they are running a fever, they got to go home and they need a COVID test or else they're going to have to stay home for 14 days.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for that? So we put a lot of that in the bill because testing is the key.
There seems to be a perception in some parts of the state that the virus is a problem of the metro area. Do you feel a responsibility as an elected official to fight that perception right now?
Well, I think that perception doesn't reflect reality. I mean, if you're, you know, I represent Ingham County, you know, Lansing area, which has cases. I represent Livingston County, which is having a bit of a problem with some of the nursing home facilities. And it's because of flattening the curve that we haven't seen this thing spread throughout the state. Certainly, it's a problem in Oakland County, where I represent. And I think people, you know, it's often the case, too, when in my national security background, that people rarely give a lot of credence to what didn't happen because of early action. You know, that you don't get a ton of appreciation. And I think the fact that major parts of our state haven't experienced a real outbreak of COVID-19 is because we realized we had a serious problem and the governor acted on it. I mean, if you look at the statistical models from March that the University of Michigan did for where Michigan was headed and every county in our state, I mean, they would have sent a chill down anyone's spine. So it's not just a Metro Detroit area problem. We know that. And we're trying to make sure that the rest of the state doesn't experience the outbreak levels that we're seeing, for instance, right now in Oakland County.
Just one more question before we let you go. While we're on the subject of elections, do you think that Michigan's election procedure should change for November? We don't really know what we're going to be dealing with, but seasonal flu data tells us that fall is a time for resurgence.
Yeah, you know, I think it's extremely important that we make sure our democratic process can continue despite the challenges. I mean, we held elections during the Civil War when people could literally hear the fighting from the front. We need to be able to adapt. And part of what we did in the third appropriation that we passed is put another, I think, almost $400 million into elections for our states, our secretaries of state, to transition as much as possible to mail-in ballots. And the good news is everyone listening to the program right now in Michigan has the ability to easily take care of the situation for themselves, sign up for lifetime absentee voting. You'll get a ballot mailed to you for every single election, big or small. And if you're one of those people who really loves going to the polls, you can always take your absentee ballot to the polls. But in Michigan, we paved the way through Prop 3 in 2018 to make ourselves, you know, a massively mail-in state. And I hope everyone takes us up on it. And uses that outlet, because we have it, unlike other states who are going to have a tougher time. But we should continue our elections on time and adapt, just like all of the rest of us have had to adapt in our work and in our education lives.
Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.